produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world today. It is Carla Johnson Olds, and I am here with you on this beautiful, beautiful Friday. And today, we have a very, very special guest with us today. We have Reverend Melissa Mason. Now, just to give you a little idea about Reverend Mason. Reverend Mason is running for the Board of Supervisors for Matthews County, and that's in the northern neck part of Virginia. Currently, she is the school board chairman, which is so wonderful. We need ministers to chair our school boards nowadays. She's also the recording secretary of Delta Sigma Theta, which is a Greek letter organization and sorority. And she is a graduate of Virginia Union University with an undergraduate degree in business administration. And she also has a master's of business administration from Averitt University. And she also has a Master's of Divinity degree from Virginia Union as well. And currently, Ms. Reverend Mason is working on her Doctorate of Divinity. So before we get started today, and Reverend Mason is going to cover several different topics with us this morning, we're going to talk about a little bit of time management. That'll help all of us with our time management skills. And we're also going to talk a little bit about just where she is in life and how she's going to proceed. And since the topic or my radio show is called Carla's Pearls, we're going to give Reverend Melissa is going to give us plenty of pearls. So if you need to, go get your pencils, your piece of paper. You might even need a magic marker. So whatever she writes down, you can put in big letters in your office or in your study area. First, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we just thank you, Lord, for your grace, your love, your peace, and your mercy, dear God. We ask that you just go with us, guide us, strengthen us, Lord God, for the journey that you have bestowed upon us, Lord God. We ask that you touch Reverend Mason as she gives us some nuggets this morning or today, wherever we are in our part of the world. Lord God, we're just thanking you and praising you in advance for your love, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Reverend Mason, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. How are you?
Hello, Reverend Olds. I'm doing well, and yourself?
I am fantastic, fantastic. It is such a pleasure to have you on today. So we're ready. I've already given you an introduction. We've prayed. You can tell us about your children, your grandchildren, and we'll start with time management and how you're able to manage your time and function doing all the wonderful things that you're doing in Matthews County.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Let me know where you want to start, what you want to manage.
Go ahead. Just jump right in.
Question?
Oh, hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, time management is something that we all struggle with, no matter what area that we are working in. And it's something that takes a lot of work. And it's something that you're always fine-tuning. I find that I'm always trying to change the process to help me with time management. With having such a hectic schedule and a schedule that changes so often. And so the first thing that I would say to do in time management is to get your pen and paper. Get you a good planner, one that works for you. There are a lot of planners. It seems as though that the market has grown where people are advertising so many different planners. Electronic and some the good old-fashioned hard copy, whichever one that works for you. But when you're making your appointments, it's important to write it down. So many times I've run into people who are double booking themselves or forgetting that they have made an appointment, and so it's important that you keep on task with that schedule. And if you're able to, there's nothing wrong with getting someone to assist you with that.
Oh, that's a good idea. Obtain an assistant.
Yes. Particularly if you are running at a high pace, you may need someone to help you with that. I had someone to remind me, like I said, we're in this world of technology, and someone reminded me, you know, that I have this iPhone, and Siri is good with reminders and reminding you that you have appointments, but technology is good, and it is helpful. I did find that using that was helpful, but it's also good to have, if you are operating at a high capacity, to have someone to physically, an actual person to help you with that. Because it's not just about reminding you about the time of the appointment, but if you are keeping a busy schedule, there are also other behind-the-scenes items that need to be taken care of. You may need someone to reserve a hotel room. You may need someone to book your flight or to touch base with someone on the other end if you're traveling. So it is good to have, if you're able to have an assistant. If you're in position to pay for, you know, you may be able to pay for one, but we're in this, some of us are in these sister circles or circle of friends, and part of that we talk about in our sister circles is that we're there to help one another, and so there's nothing wrong with calling, reaching out and asking for help in these areas.
That's good. That's good. And they also have what is called virtual assistants. So there are people out there who can plan your schedule, plan your days, organize your life, and you not even actually ever meet them in person.
This is true, but what I want to say about that is, depending upon what area you are in that you're working in, and since I'm a minister and you're a minister, I'm going to use ministry as an example. When you are working in ministry, and depending upon what level that you're operating in with ministry, you want to be careful with what service that you use in terms of an assistant, be it virtual, and also who you get to walk with you that close in providing your assistance, because confidentiality is going to be key, and you want to have someone who have your best interest. And who, you know, because being an assistant, you are
privy to a lot of information.
You are privy to a lot of information. And so you want to be working with someone and operating in safe space.
Yes, exactly. And that's the other thing I was going to say as well. Make sure you interview people. And and you want to make sure that, especially in ministry, that you and the other person are on one accord, and that you all are, you know, operating under the same anointing, and the person that you've hired is capable of doing the things that you need them to do and excelling into the capacity or to the level that you need them to excel, because there's nothing worse than you running on 100 and excelling and your assistant not being able to keep up with the demand.
Right.
Exactly.
And also with the realization, sometimes people get involved with stuff and don't understand to what level it is at. And so you want to be truthful and honest and give the full picture to whomever, if you're using someone to operate in that space.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. But, now we're going to switch gears. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But it's also understanding that there's different spaces for that. And there's different appropriate times for that. Right now, it could be that it is you maintaining your own schedule. That's where I am right now, just making certain that I write everything down and keeping up with what I have written down.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
Talk to us. Just a little bit. Well, a lot. Let me see. I'm going to be honest with you. You got to talk to us a lot about your you pursuing your doctorate in ministry degree. And I know there are quite a few people who listen in that want to go back to school, whether it's to finish up their high school diploma, obtain their GED, get an undergraduate degree, an associate's degree, or even just take some classes at a community college, and they may feel like, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the mental capacity. So tell us, what encouraged you to go from high school to undergraduate to graduate and now pursuing the highest level, your doctorate degree? And then talk to us about the program that you're involved in right now.
Okay. Going from high school to college at the time in the era that I came up in, that was the next step. It was automatically the next step. I had my mentor. She was at Hampton University at the time when she graduated. She was a Hampton Institute graduate. She was my youth mentor. She was a teacher in the community. And so she encouraged me to see beyond where I was living. And so seeing beyond where I was living was going out and exploring the world, and education was the way to do that.
Okay.
So it was automatic that I was going to go. Didn't know necessarily, didn't come from a wealthy family, so of course making use of financial aid and scholarships, and I went to Virginia Union University, as you stated, a small, private, historically black university in Richmond, Virginia, and being able to be around different people from different parts of the world just opened up my lens to different cultures, different different people. And it was eye-opening, and it was life-changing and life-affirming to be in that setting. I came from a small rural area that was a mixed population. So to be able to be at a university where I could sit in, live in, and experience my own blackness was affirming for me. Going out into the work world, and at this point in time, I've been married, had children, got divorced, and trying to instill the same ideals to my children. It was when my youngest was, he was 2 years old, I believe, three, when I started the MBA.
Okay.
And the reason why I did that, because I wanted to set an example for my children. I wanted them to see that they could do. But to add into and answer your question directly, it is important that if it is something that you, a person, wants to do, that they step out and try to do it. It was not easy maintaining a household and going to get my master's degree, but that's where I depended upon other people. You know, they talk about it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village sometimes, particularly when you're a single parent, to reach some goals.
Yeah.
It was something that I wanted, and so I just strived for that. I was just reading an article where a lady was 80-some years old, so she was 82, and had gone back to college, and she got her degree.
Yeah.
And so that affirms in itself that you're never too old. There's always an opportunity. And now they offer so many different programs that it can fit into your schedule, work schedule, home schedule. You can do it online. You can do combination of classroom and online. So now, because colleges realize that people are living different lives, they have to adjust and make schedules available for the working person.
And it's just so accessible. Mm-hmm.
It is accessible. You have different colleges who are providing laptops so that you can work from home, so that you can study from home. And also some jobs understand the fact and will allow opportunity for various leaves so that you can be able to study and work. So
I got you.
Yeah, it's different opportunities.
I got you. Well, that sounds real good. Now, talk to us about your doctorate and how you. What are your plans and how you? What is your topic and everything about the doctorate in ministry?
The doctorate in ministry was birthed out of where I grew up. I grew up in a rural area, small, 8,000 in population currently. And the doctoral work is dealing with sustainability. That's how it started out, and community development.
Okay.
When I started working in ministry, I started looking at the rural church, and that the rural church, most rural churches are dealing with similar situations, small congregations, low attendance of youth, and going back home and being used to, when you was growing up, you saw huge attendance and congregation. The church was the central point of the community. Historically, in the rural area, for the black church, you would have small black churches throughout the community. And that was basically because at the earliest start of the church in the rural community, transportation, they could not get to the central church. So many of them broke out. This was specific to Matthews County.
Okay.
But now, of course, with transportation, everybody can get to where they need to go. And so I was looking at, well, what's going to happen to the rural church with the different change in dynamics, with people aging out, with younger people moving away? What's going to happen? And with so many of these rural churches being the heart of the various communities, to me it would be a shame for them to, because we're seeing in your urban and metropolitan areas, churches are closing up.
Okay, you're right.
For the rural community, I'm looking at the collaborative standpoint of rural churches to their communities.
Got you. I got you.
Because many times when we talk about community, we talk about the church, and then we talk about community. And when we say community, I think we're looking at from a secular aspect.
Yes, yes.
But community is one. And so how do we, for the life of the rural church, get the rural churches to operate in the space that they live in the community? Involvement,
yes,
in terms of policy, involvement in terms of education, involvement in terms of emergency preparedness response. And that's important right now as we are dealing with the situation with Hurricane Dorian. I live on a coastal the community is a coastal community.
Community.
And
mm-hmm.
it sits in the Chesapeake Bay. It is a peninsula. So how are the rural churches going to be effective when you're talking about emergency preparedness? Because we never know what a hurricane, tornado, or earthquake, or something that can cause and bring damage to an area.
Exactly.
So how can we be prepared and be a part of a community and not speak outside of ourselves or be outside of ourselves?
And then how can the church be present and be a functioning organism so that they're able to exist and preach and teach and assist when the need arises for the big word community?
Right, because as the church focuses on the spiritual aspect of a person, but wholeness includes not only spiritual, it's mental, it's physical, it's financial.
Yes.
And so we have to, as the church, we have to address all of these things. Because if a person is dealing with being homeless, if they're dealing with physical issues, if they're dealing with mental issues, they're not focused in on the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And the church has to be willing to operate and break down walls and operate outside of walls. And so the way to operate outside of walls is getting into the community, because the inside of the church is only a small subset of the community. And many churches now, the people who are inside the church are not necessarily from that community that the building sits in.
Yes.
So we have to get on a collaborative standpoint. And I'm speaking from the aspect in my dissertation, from the aspect of stewardship.
Gotcha.
Stewardship in terms of God says that we are to manage his creation. Well, we, the people, are the creation, a part of his creation. Because many times people talk about stewardship, they think about environmental. But it's an aspect of he wants us to care for each other. And that ties back into the Jesus commandment of love one another.
Yeah.
And so, in being good stewards, we have to care for community, the people who live within it, and not just the ones who come into the four walls of the church, but those that are also on the outside.
Yes. And one thing that I'm learning, too, as you said before, a lot of people aren't physically coming to the church, but they're streaming online, and they're actually paying their tithes online, and that's how they're getting fed. So maybe the church, and I know I'm going to get hit over the head with this one, but maybe the church needs to sit back, reexamine, and say, you know, we're not going to do this business as usual. We need to try something else to win the souls of the lost. And every now and then we have to have that Malcolm X attitude, by any means necessary. And the Bible says, go ye therefore into all nations. So we need to change our train of thinking, our train of thought, and think about accessing Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook to continue our ministry.
Right. Well, I think also that there needs to be the programming needs to be changed. Anyway, I had a conversation with someone this week that we may be getting it, maybe we're getting it wrong.
Okay.
I think that we've gotten too much caught up in the programming. We've gotten too caught up in the services, the programs, raising money for the church. When I was coming up and we had revival, you know, revival, who was sitting on the mourner's bench? Who was, you know, confessing, you know? And so if we went around and took a poll when we're having these revivals, how many people have come to confess? And if they talk about we need to be revived. Yes, we do need to be revived, but where in are we bringing in the lost who do not know Christ? Another thing that we've gotten caught up in terms of the church is, and with social media, we see it all the time, too many people worried about what's the next big gig, you know, who they need to pulpit with, you know, how many posters can I get out there of myself on Facebook?
Yeah.
You know, so it's, like you said, you may get hit on the head. Well, I might be getting hit on the head along with you, because I think that we need to change the program and we need to reassess. You know, corporations and companies and agencies are always talking about, let's reassess ourselves. Well, maybe the church needs to reassess themselves.
That's good. Well, Melissa, I thoroughly enjoyed you this morning, this afternoon. So I'm going to tell you all a couple of things that I got from our conversation. Is that time management is ever-changing. We're always fine-tuning. We need to always remember that we're fine-tuning our time management. Get a good planner, whether it's on a piece of paper or whether it is with Siri. And I have to remember that with Siri, that she can also help me with my notes. Obtain a good assistant. See beyond where you are, And as the church as a whole, we should step back and reassess where we are and then where we're trying to go. Melissa, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate this.
And thank you for having me.
Yes, yes, and good luck in the election. We'll be praying for you. We ask God to just touch you. Let us pray on that note. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these pearls of wisdom that were delivered to us this morning through your vehicle, Reverend Melissa Mason. Please wrap her in your arms as she travels back and forth from coastal Virginia to central Virginia. Lord God, protect her on the highways, protect her mind, her body, and her spirit while she's at work, while she's at school. Protect her children and her granddaughters, Lord God. We just thank you. We praise you. We lift you up, and we glorify your holy name, Jesus. We thank you once again for the vision that you've given her, and continue to go before her and make those crooked places straight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Sister Mason, thank you so, so much for joining us. And I will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.